Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Hey Thrive, welcome back to church. Oh man, it is so good to be together. Welcome back to where you belong. Welcome back to physical live church. For those of you in the building at either Thrive Edenvale or Thrive Boksburg, welcome back to it. We've missed you so much. Welcome back to where we all belong. This is home, isn't it? It's been too long. Genesis 28 reminds us that when Jacob says, this is the house of God, this is the gateway of heaven. Man, this is a sacred space. And we also want to say a huge welcome to you, those of you joining us on Thrive Online. Welcome to it. Welcome to church. We are one church in three locations, Edenvale, Boksburg, and online. And we've got community joining you from all over the world and all over the country. So welcome to it. We're so glad that you can join us. So glad that we can merge the physical and the online. I do want to say to you, if you're anywhere in the East Rand area, in the Joburg and East Rand area, and you're not vulnerable, you don't have a comorbidity, or you're not living with somebody who's vulnerable, get to church next week, either Edenvale or our Boksburg campuses. We're having a ball here. The kids in Kids Zone are having the most amazing time. The auditorium and every single facility is sanitized completely before the service, during or between the services, and afterwards as well. And so we'd love to see you next week physically at church. You know, God, when he wanted to show us his love, when he wanted to show the world how much he loved us, he sent Jesus, who put on flesh and blood. Jesus came in the physical to show how much we meant to him. Our physical presence is so, so, so important. So if you're able to, if you're anywhere in the Joburg and East Rand area, head to church next week. Love to see you there. I want to let you know and assure you, our team have taken the utmost precautions. We have taken your safety very, very seriously. The auditorium and every venue on the campuses have been sanitized before the meetings, between the services, and afterwards. I want to let you know, seriously, you're safer at church than you are at anywhere else you've been during this crazy, crazy season that we've been. You're much safer at church than you are at any shop that you've been to. So we'd love to see you next week. As we return to church and physical church, it's a season of huge thankfulness for us as a church. And so starting in October, like literally having started this last Thursday, right until the 31st of October, the end of the month, we've called it October Fast. It's a time when as a church, we're going to fast. We can fast anything. You could fast TV, Netflix, coffee. You could fast food, a meal a day, two meals a day, three meals a day. You could fast for a couple of days at a time. You could fast anything that's meaningful to you. It's a time of thankfulness. It's a season where we want to thank God for his goodness to us. And we also want to ask him for wisdom and for his blessing on our lives and on our church. So October Fast happens from now till the end of October. And speaking of that, and speaking of praying and being people of prayer, our prayer room kicks off the 14th of October. It launches on the 14th of October, where you'll be able to make your way to campus, either Edenvale or Boksburg. We have a dedicated prayer room available on certain days. It starts on the 14th of October. You can come and come to the prayer room and just pray and be present. Speaking of prayer, as we get into the message today, it'd be my privilege to pray for us. And Father, we ask you in this time and in this moment, would you speak to us and would you have your hand of blessing upon your word? May it go deep into our souls. May it lift our eyes and encourage our spirits. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in the room, give me a big shout. And if you're watching online, pop in the comments there. Say, happy to be here. Church 2020, what a year. It's been a year to write a book about, hasn't it been? But you know, there's one thing that I'm hearing about this year. Over and over, as I speak to people, I'm hearing people say one particular thing to me. It's this: hey, come on, let's just start over next year. Let's just write the year off and let's start over next year. Let's put our heads under our duvets, pretend the rest of the year doesn't exist and start over next year. If you're in the room, raise your hand if you've heard that said to you. And if you're online, give me a yep, I've heard it. It's happening. This is what's going on around us. You know, when I was in primary school, when I was sort of grade 3 till about grade 6, I got enrolled in Cubs. Cubs is like junior version of Scouts. Now, you're supposed to make things and make rafts and boats and do all sorts of cool things. Problem was, I hated Cubs. I hated Cubs because there was a guy there called Stuart who used to bully me. He was my sixer, the guy in charge of our little group. And I hated going to Cubs. And eventually, I just flat out refused. I said to my parents, I'm not going to Cubs. Like, they just couldn't make me get to Cubs. Well, Maya Arkela, the lady who was in charge of the whole scout group, when she noticed for a few weeks that I hadn't been there, she actually came to my house physically. She literally arrived at my front door to ask my parents where I was and why I hadn't come to Cubs. And my mom opened the door and invited her in and showed her through to my room. And there I was in my bed with my duvet over my head. I'd heard her ring the doorbell. I'd heard the conversation at the front door. And I just had my duvet over my head. I was just having none of it. It feels a little bit like 2020. People are saying, I'm having none of it. Know the feeling? But you know, church, much as we'd like to, we are not called to pack in the year. We're not called to crawl back into bed, put the duvet over our head, and just wish the year away. Because it's not over yet. It's not over yet. And 2020 is not over yet. And so the series that we're in at the moment, Pastor Ken kicked it off brilliantly last week for us. It's called It's Not Over Yet. And it's anchored in the scripture in Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 17. The New Living Translation says this. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus and he says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. You know, Thrive as a church, we have taken that seriously. I believe we have made the most of the COVID opportunity. In Boksburg, the building is going up at a rapid rate of knots. It's almost completed. In Edenvale, we've repainted the entire church and the roof. We're planning some beautiful things for the Edenvale foyer. We have geared up to stream and stream live. We've got all the technology in place. We've moved to online. We've put new drum kits in Edenvale and in Boksburg. We've moved the stage around in Boksburg, revamped it, put new air conditioners in. We are now genuinely one church in three locations, Edenvale, Boksburg, and online. We have made the most of this year, and we still have 3 months to make the most of in 2020, because it's not over yet. And you know, there's this ultimate story in Scripture. It's like the ultimate it's not over yet story. The story goes that the disciples had thought that the fishing was over, that their night of fishing was over. And one of them, Peter, thought his ministry was over. So here we have a group thinking it's over for them and an individual, Peter, thinking it's over for him. But Jesus had news for them. It's not over yet. Lads, the night is not over yet. And Peter, your ministry is not over yet. The context to the story that we're about to see in Scripture is that after Peter's failure, where he denied Jesus 3 times, Peter goes fishing, goes with the disciples. They catch nothing. Jesus appears on the shore in the early dawn and he says to them, hey guys, chuck your nets over to the other side of the boat. And they catch an enormous catch, 153 fish. They couldn't even bring the net in. And that's where we join it in John 21, verses 7 through to 17. Says that then the disciple Jesus loved, that's John, by the way, he said to Peter, it's the Lord. And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work. He jumped into the water and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from the shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Like, it was the first fast food restaurant ever designed. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire, and some bread. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus said. And so Simon Peter went aboard, dragged the net to shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. You know, I live close to the Homestead Lake in Benoni. I've never seen anybody catch close to 153 fish. Verse 12. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. It's a beautiful story. It's a story filled with so, so much. It continues. Here's the point. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time now, he asked. Jesus is pushing the envelope. Third time he asked, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Here's the thing. This group of disciples and Peter thought that it was over. But in moments when we think it's over, Jesus comes to us. He meets us several ways. I want you to see from the story, number one, he meets us in community. All the disciples, they were together. It's powerful being together. It's powerful being together, being in church physically right now. And Jesus meets us there. There's something about being together. He meets us in our community. He meets us in our work, in our lives, the things we do. You know, they were fishing. It's what they were trained to do. And Jesus meets us in the space of what we do, in the everyday, in the mundane, in the sacred. It's what God has called you to do, and he can meet you there. He met them there. Just when you think it's over, Jesus can meet you when you're in community, but he can also meet you when you're in your work. Thirdly, he meets us in our diligence. Here they were, busy fishing. You know, they didn't know what else to do. Jesus hadn't yet ascended to heaven, but he had also been resurrected, and he had told them to wait. And here they were busy waiting to see what was going to happen. Well, they went fishing. They did something. He meets us in our diligence. He meets us in our workplace. He meets us in our community. I want you to see today as well that Jesus meets us in our disappointment. Their work that night, guys, hadn't paid off. Sometimes the hands of the diligent come back empty. But it's only for a season, so that God's grace would be more wonderful. Sometimes, you know it, I know it, there's a night of fishing with nothing to show for it at the end of the night. But I want to encourage you today to hang on, because there is a morning and there is a miracle coming, just like there was for the disciples. Jesus meets us also gently and gradually. Notice how it took them a little while to realize it was him. Christ is often nearer to us than we think. It took a while for them to realize that. It takes a while sometimes for us to realize he is nearer to you today than what you think. I want you to see in the story that Jesus meets them compassionately, and he meets us compassionately. He calls them friends. There's a tenderness, a friendship to his approach to them. He says to them, have you got any fish? Why? Because he cares. He cares about whether you've got what you need. He also meets us powerfully. You know, he is the resurrected one from whom nothing is hidden. Not even the place of the fish in the sea. Jesus knows where the fish in the ocean live. He knew that they were on the right-hand side of the boat and not on the left. Isn't that incredible? He meets us powerfully. If he knows where the fish in the ocean are, do you not think that he can meet your need? You know, he also meets us graciously. When we think it's over yet, it's not over yet, because he meets us graciously, just like he did for Peter and the disciples. The net they could not haul in now is able to be towed 100 yards. I mean, previously they couldn't move the thing. Now they can pull it 100 yards. Why? Because he gave them strength. He gave them grace to do what they needed to do. Jesus also came to them, and he comes to us generously. 153 fish. You know what? It's so interesting, because in Luke 24, the disciples gave Jesus one piece of broiled fish. This is the second fish story since his resurrection. Luke 24, they give him one little piece of fish. Guess what? Here, he returns that 153-fold. Jesus is extraordinarily generous with us, isn't he? And so, church, here's what I want you to notice. This group of disciples, they end a hard night of fishing with their minds completely blown. They ended the night at first thinking it's over. But Jesus comes to them generously, graciously, compassionately, gently. He comes to them and they end the night with a morning and a miracle. And they go, the longest night has ended with a miracle in the morning. Why? Because it's not over yet. It's never over until Jesus says it's over. 2020, it's not over yet. Can I say to you today, can I say to you prophetically into your spirit, 2020 is not over for you yet. A long, hard night of fishing can end with a miracle in the morning. Can I ask you though, would you decide in your heart today not to write off the year? Would you decide not to go with the culture and just declare this year a write-off? Would you decide to trust Jesus for something more, to make the most of the rest of this year? Would you decide to trust Him for a miracle in the morning? Because God can take a long night of nothing, no catch, and He can turn it to a miracle in the morning. Just when you think it's over, He can redeem it. He can bless it. In an instant, there can be a miracle in the morning. The question is, what will you trust God for? Maybe today it's to conceive the baby you've been longing for. Maybe it's the new job. Maybe it's a marriage partner you've been longing for in your heart. Maybe it's that new business deal that needs to land. Maybe it's a renewal in your marriage and in your relationships. Maybe it's your health. I don't know what area it is, but I do want to say to you, Jesus can come to you. You can encounter Him the way they encountered Him, and He can turn the long night with no catch into a miracle in the morning. It's not over yet. And then the story continues, and it changes gear, because Jesus now turns to Peter, and after they'd eaten together, Jesus comes to Peter, and Peter was still living with his denial of Christ, and it was heavy on his shoulders. You see, Peter, he was the most warm-hearted, he was the most zealous, he was the most responsive of all the disciples. And in this moment now, when he recognizes that it's Jesus, he showed the strength of his affection to Jesus. And he showed his earnest desire to be with Him. And he casts himself into the sea. And he's wading and half swimming to shore. And he just wants to get to Jesus. And then they have this breakfast together with the disciples. And then Jesus comes to him personally. Jesus gets a one-on-one with him. And while the other disciples got a group session with Jesus, Peter gets a one-on-one. Jesus graciously and carefully and thoughtfully waits until they've eaten together. And then he calls Peter aside. And I think because of his incredible responsiveness to Jesus, because of his warm-heartedness, Peter gets the special focus. Jesus needs time with him. Isn't it amazing how responsiveness always gets God's attention? Because Peter got Jesus' attention. Hey, just thinking about it, church, quick short left if you will indulge me for a minute. Over this lockdown season and as we reemerge, we have heard so many encouraging stories of people saying, I've missed my church home so much. People have been contacting us in the last few weeks saying, put me down to serve and build God's house every week. In fact, I chatted to a lady in the cafe just last week at the Forge Men's meeting. She says to me, I've asked my team leader to put me down, roster me every single week. I just want to be here. This is my home. I've missed it. So powerful when hearts are responsive, isn't it? And Peter gets Jesus' attention because of his responsiveness. And then there's this incredible exchange between the two, between Peter and Jesus. And Jesus says to Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? And Peter goes, you know I love you. Notice, he doesn't go, I love you more than these. The reason is, Peter is not willing to compare himself with any of the other disciples. He's not willing to say, Jesus, I love you more than the other disciples. You know why? Because he had tried that and it had failed. Peter had already said to Jesus before his betrayal, before his crucifixion, he had already said, Jesus, though everybody else would abandon you, I will not. And he had learned that his prideful approach would let him down. And so when Jesus says to him, Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter goes, there's no ways I'm even going there again. I can't bear to compare myself. I'm not going to be that brave and that bold. Jesus, I just want to tell you I love you. Full stop. I want you to notice in this one-on-one exchange, Peter's pride firstly had vanished. His pride has vanished. Secondly, he says, you know that I love you. You know that I love you. Peter knew that Jesus knew all things. And I mean, Peter had firsthand just witnessed the fact that Jesus knew where the fish under the water were. And so Peter goes, Jesus, you know everything. So Jesus, I invite you to test my heart. You know my heart. Would you see and would you notice that I love you? So while his pride has vanished, his heart now is pure. Secondly, his heart is pure. And then, of course, when Jesus asks the third time, Peter's upset. Peter hates third times. There's a reason why Peter was upset. It's because he hates third times. The last third time Peter has in his mind was the third time he was asked if he knew Jesus, when for the third time he denied Christ and then he heard a rooster crow. Peter hates third times. That's why when Jesus asks for a third time, do you love me? Peter's very raw. His pain is raw. And so I want you to see today his pride had vanished, his heart was pure, and his pain was raw. He's still feeling the weight of his failure, but in this moment, Jesus reinstates him and gives him purpose, fresh purpose for his life. It's beautiful, isn't it? But now I want you, just for a moment, to imagine with me a different Peter. Rewind. Imagine if Peter had been on the boat with the guys, fishing. Then they catch this huge fish, and John leans over to Peter and says, hey, Peter, it looks like it's Jesus. Imagine if Peter had not reacted the way he had. Imagine Peter had reacted the other way, the opposite way. In other words, he'd got out of the boat and headed the complete opposite direction to what Jesus was. If Jesus was on the shore, Peter goes deeper out. Imagine Peter had said, it is over. There's no chance. I'm out of here. Doesn't matter where I've been, what I've done, it's over for me. There's nothing more to be done. He would have missed the biggest moment of his life. He would have missed his calling. He would have missed his reinstatement. He would have missed his forgiveness. Can I ask you today, how about you? Which Peter will you be? The one who says, no way. It's over, I'm done. 2020, it's over. Are you going to let a hard night let you call it quits? If Jesus calls you one way, are you going to go the other way? Or are you ready to jump out of the boat, head into the water, half wade, half swim your way to Jesus no matter what? I want to be that Peter. I want to be the Peter that says, 2020, it's not over yet. Jesus can do anything. Church, can I invite us in this moment? Let's be a community who make the most of the rest of this year. Who, like the disciples, experienced a miracle in the morning. Let's together, as a community, let's trust God and let's see a miracle in the morning. 3 months to go. Let's trust God to see incredible stuff in the rest of this year. So let's not only be a community that trusts for that, but let's, as individuals, each one of us individually, like Peter, though the season may have had its challenges, we move towards Jesus just like he did. We get out of the boat. We head towards him, not the other way. We go about and get about the things of God. You know, because Jesus gave Peter work to do, and Peter humbly accepted his assignment. Let's be people who get working, who get active, who get humble, who get unselfish. Let's decide, hey, these 3 months that we've got left, I'm going to serve like never before. I'm going to serve in church like crazy. I'm going to give sacrificially, generously. I'm going to be more thankful and more grateful than I've ever been. I'm going to serve the poor wherever and whenever I can. I'm going to pray fervently. I'm going to live unselfishly. I'm going to say, yes, Lord, whatever you want, I'm in. If you're on the shore and I'm in the boat, I'm heading your direction. Let's be those people. Let's make 2020 count. It's not over yet. Can you say amen, church? Church, there's one final detail about the story that's so important to notice. And that is that the resurrected Christ, Jesus, in the story, stands on the shore calling his disciples. The last time the disciples, Jesus, and a boat were all in the story, Jesus came to his disciples in the middle of a storm. Not so in this story, because this is after Jesus' death and his resurrection. A new era has been ushered in. The era of the resurrected Christ. No longer does Jesus have to walk on water to join us in the middle of a storm. Now the resurrected Christ calls his followers, calls his disciples to the shore, a place of rest. You see, when Jesus got resurrected, everything changed for us. Now he stands on the shore in safety and he calls his followers to join him in a safe place. No longer does he have to walk out onto the water to join them in the storm. He calls them onto the shore to join him in a place of peace and safety. That's profoundly important for you today if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. Because what he is doing today through his word and through this message, he's calling you to a safe place with him. He's calling you to place your faith and your trust in him. And the moment you do, you get to join him on the shore. What does that mean? It means that the peace of Jesus, means that the grace of God is over your life. It means that you don't have to struggle in the storm anymore. It means you can stand on the shore with him. Doesn't mean life becomes perfect. Doesn't mean life becomes easy. It does mean that you stand next to the one who holds the winds and the waves in his hand. And so today, if you want to invite Christ into your life, I would love the great privilege of praying for you. And as I do so in the next few moments, the Holy Spirit is prompting you to join me in this prayer. I'm going to ask you to do so. And after the prayer, I'm going to ask you to let us know that you made that decision. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and for your love for us. Thank you so much for your grace. Jesus, thank you that you stand on the shore and you call us. And even today in 2020, at the end of the year, you stand and you call us. And today we want to respond to you with our hearts. We want to be like Peter who got out the boat and came to you. No matter the cost, no matter what it means for us, we want to come towards you. And Father, today in this moment, as people are responding to you, either for the first time to say, yes, I'm coming your way, Jesus. Yes, I want to stand on the shore with you. Yes, I want to be with you. Yes, I want to invite you into my life. Or perhaps there's some of us who've been going about life our own way, and today you're calling them back. We pray that as we do so today, as we respond to you, we pray that your hand would be upon each one, that your Holy Spirit would work deeply, that you would call us, you would forgive us, you would reinstate us, you would give us fresh purpose, you would put your hand upon our lives, and you would begin to write a new future in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.